Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful for you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to speak only things found in God's holy and inspired Word. So for that reason, if there's any question or any comment that you have about what we say on the program, let us hear from you. And by the way, those comments can be favorable or unfavorable. Still, let us hear from you. Or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you're studying and would like for us to study it on the program. Know assuredly that we would give consideration to any Bible question, any Bible subject that you might have. But again, we need to hear from you. You can contact me at the address given by the announcer, or better, contact me directly by email, because my address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Also, remember that 30 minutes after this program goes off the air, the East Abbotville Church of Christ meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431. We'll have a period of Bible study. There are classes for all ages. When you come, when your children, your family, expect in whatever class that you go into that you'll only be studying God's Word. Then at 10:30, we will come together in the main auditorium. We will sing, we will pray, we will hear a lesson from God's Word. Being the first day of the week, we will imitate the church at Troas in Acts 20 and verse 7, as we break bread and the partaking of the Lord's Supper, and then we'll do as God commanded the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16 to lay by in store as we have been prospered. This we will do upon the first day of the week. Again, this evening at 5 o'clock, the church will come together for worship, and again on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, there will be another period of Bible study. Again, classes for all ages, so we urge you to come, bring your family, and study God's Word with us. If it's at all impossible for you to come to the building, we want you to know that at these same times, you can log on to eastabbotville.org/live and both see and hear the Bible study or the worship period. You can do this on either your phone, your laptop, whatever means you have of being able to access the Internet. Also tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, there is a 30-minute live call-in radio program called Bible Crossfire. At the beginning of the program, you will be given a phone number. If you have a Bible question, you can call that number. You can speak directly to Pat Donahue. Give him your Bible question, and in return, expect only a Bible answer. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, WBSA. But if you're incapable of picking up the station at that time, but you have satellite radio capability, turn it to channel 131 at 8 o'clock on Sirius XM, and you can hear Bible Crossfire. Certainly, there's much that you can do this day alone to have opportunity to hear, to study God's Word, and so we urge you to take advantage of any and all of these opportunities that are available to you. I get asked occasionally from people, what kind of programs do you have for kids at the church where you are? Well, I explained that we offer Bible classes on Sunday and on Wednesday with a study designed to help kids learn the Bible and to help them to understand God's will for their lives. And to that I say, well, we have families who host home Bible studies, and this gives kids an opportunity to talk about God's Word, maybe in a little more informal setting. And I said, sometimes our kids enjoy getting together at Dairy Queen, but these activities are planned and organized by families and not a part of the work of the church. And usually it's at that point that I usually begin to sense impatience on the other end of the line. Sometimes they'll ask, is that all? Well, you know, understanding their frustration coming from other places sometimes, and, you know, they know about other churches. Sometimes people have quite a different expectation. See, most churches offer a much larger menu when it comes to activities for the young people. I went to the internet and I checked out some church websites and I made a list. Most churches have an entire section of the websites devoted to youth and to the activities that they offer to the youth. And they include, just for example, youth concerts, dodgeball tournaments, lock-ins. One I saw had wacky, tacky Christmas parties. There was a number of churches that offered pizza nights. And one had called a TRX suspension training. And when I read about it, it was promising to train youth like the Navy SEALs and help them to get into shape, that is, physical shape. And then a lot of churches had what they call schools for the performing arts. And what that amounts to is dance classes, maybe in jazz music or hip-hop music. Some had theater arts, and some had offered private music lessons. So, you know, and on and on and on we could go with the many things that are being offered in churches as a part of the youth programs. So with so many activities to coordinate, churches have to have a paid staff member. And I would imagine in larger churches, probably more than one paid staff member whose job it would be to coordinate all this. You know, his job title is youth minister because it's his job to, quote, minister to the youth. And so this is the arrangement that you find in a majority, in a lot of churches. But if we're not careful, you know, as members of the Lord's Church, we can start looking at all of the options that other churches offer to their youth, and we can begin to believe that, well, we just aren't doing enough for ours. In fact, I've heard where parents complain that, well, you know, y'all just simply don't provide enough activities for the kids. And when they are pressed to identify what else as the church that it needs to be doing, the answer was to schedule more movie nights, laser tag outings, and, you know, just activities like that. Now, where did these ideas come from? It's certainly not from the scriptures. See, these were things they saw other churches doing. And ultimately, they're suggesting that we look to the denominations that are caught up in this youth group movement, and we need to take our cue from them. But let me state this plainly. If we cave to this pressure, we'll be taking the wrong cue. The last thing we want to do is look to the youth groups to figure out how to help kids. And I say that for three reasons. The first reason is that the youth group movement de-emphasizes what kids need most. Now, I understand why youth groups are certainly fun. You know, I mean, who doesn't enjoy a good pitcher? Who doesn't enjoy playing a game of basketball? But all that does not help teenagers to know God. All of that does not help teenagers to know what God's will is for their lives. See, if we want our kids to be wise, if we want them to avoid sin, if we want them to live pure lives, then we're going to have to teach them the Bible, not by another teacher, or play some sport or some game with them. Let's turn over to Psalms, to the 119th chapter. Verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Let's look at verse 11. Your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now let's go all the way down to verse 99. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditations. See, friends, that is the answer. That is the answer how to keep kids wise, to avoid sin, to live their lives pure, is to teach them God's Word. You know, there's some in the denominational world that are beginning to figure that out. For example, there's a website called gotquestions.org. And among the questions that are to be found on that website is this one, and I quote, why are so many young people falling away from the faith? End of quote. But it was interesting that in responding to that question, the author made two very interesting observations. First, they noted that, and I quote, most church youth programs tend to focus their energies on providing entertainment and pizza rather than focusing on building up the young people in their faith. As a result, our teens are ill-equipped to face the challenges they will encounter in the world upon leaving home. End of quote. Now, there was a second offering that they respond to that question. And they offer this interesting advice at the very end of their response. And I quote, the church needs to take a hard look at its youth programs. Instead of performing for them with skits, band, and videos, we need to get back to teaching them the scriptures. Frank Turek, well-known Christian author and lecturer, put it this way. We fail to recognize that what we win them with, we win them to. The bottom line is that Christian parents and our churches need to do a better job developing their hearts with the Word of God. End of quote. And again, that's from the website gotquestions.org. Friends, these statements are not unusual. There is a growing number of voices in the denominational world that are calling into question this entertainment approach of the youth group movement. Friends, let me say this and let it be understood. God never made it the mission of His church to serve as a recreational center for youth. Kids have lots of opportunities to play basketball, to eat pizza, and parents can ensure that they do this with the right crowd, but friends, churches must remain focused on giving kids what they need most. And that is an opportunity to know God, to know His will for their lives, and that can only be through a careful study of the Bible, God's Word. The second reason that we want, the last thing that we want to do, to look to the youth group movement to figure out how to help our kids, is because the youth group movement disengages parents from the process. You know, I suspect that most people involved in this movement would complain that this is not the intent. In fact, I'm sure that youth leaders would complain that they want parents to be more involved. But friends, that's not what happens. Busy parents give up their responsibility and they leave it to the youth minister to raise their kids. One youth group leader, in fact, complained that parents, what they were doing, were dropping off their kids at the church building on youth nights and expecting them to take care of their spiritual needs. You know, what makes this arrangement even worse is this job is often left to an inexperienced college kid who knows little more about life, and he knows little more of Scripture than the kids that he's supposed to be training. And worse yet, he may have some very wrong ideas. Take, for instance, maybe he has the wrong idea about Bible authority. Maybe he has the wrong idea about drinking alcohol. And, you know, we could just continue to go on down the list of the things that it would be possible for him to have the wrong ideas about. And yet, what's he going to do? He's going to pass that on to the kids. And those kids, many of them, will just eagerly soak it up. Because after all, you know, they can, you know, quote, relate to this young guy. See, are people unable to see that this is simply a bad idea? You know, the Bible teaches the task, the work of training children, it belongs to the parents. It's always been God's way for kids to be trained. It's by their parents. It's always been given the responsibility of the parents. All the way back into Deuteronomy. Notice what we read in chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So see who the responsibility is, and then we go to the New Testament. Notice what we read in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. See, there's no youth minister, and for that matter, there's no Bible class teacher that will ever be able to fill the gap when it's left by parents who are not teaching their children at home. You know, whatever a congregation may supply in the way of Bible teaching as part of its work should be little more than a small supplement to the greater task of instructing children that ought to be taking place at home. And then another reason, the last thing we want to do, is to look to the youth group movement to figure out how to help our kids, is that the youth group movement has been a gigantic failure. You know, There were some assumptions behind these efforts to offer kids food and fun at worship services. First, it was assumed that you could not get kids excited about simply studying the Bible. And second, people assumed that if you could lure kids in with promises of pizza and basketball, then you could throw in some Bible periodically, and this would help them to remain faithful. Friends, let me be clear. Both of those assumptions, they're absolutely false. First of all, young people can be inspired to love God, to worship in spirit and in truth, as Jesus says it must be done in John chapter 4, verse 24. Young people can be inspired to love God's word, and all of that without being carnally motivated. And second, luring kids with pizza and trying to throw in some Bible along the way, that does not help them to remain faithful. There have been so many studies done over the last 10 years or more to determine how many kids drop out of religion after high school. And the numbers vary greatly, but roughly it's from 60% in one study to almost 90% in another. But no matter which study you choose to believe, all of the numbers are bad. Take a group with 100 young people, and on average, 60 to 90% of them will leave after they finish high school. See, put simply, the methods that are being used by the youth group movement are not working. In fact, they have been a gigantic failure. And there are some in the denominational world that are beginning to acknowledge that. Before his death in 2004, Mike Yaconelli was a national leader of the youth group movement. In fact, one writer describes this fella as the guy, quote, the guy in youth ministry. But however, in his article entitled The Failure of Youth Ministry, which was from a book entitled Youth Worker, in June of 2003, he made some amazing admissions, and I quote, "Youth ministry doesn't have any staying power. Young people flock to Christian concerts, cheer Jesus at large events, and work on service projects. Unfortunately, it's not because of Jesus. It's because they are young. The success of youth ministry in this country is an illusion. Very little youth ministry has a lasting impact on students. Let's be honest. Youth ministry as an experiment has failed. If we want to see the church survive, we need to rethink youth ministry. What does that mean? I don't have a clue." End of quote. See, this Mike Yaconelli may not have known what to do about this problem, but God does. The Bible supplies us with all we need to bring up children who will be faithful to the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly equipped for every good work. Friends, the scriptures and the scriptures alone are all sufficient to accomplish everything the human race needs, young, middle-aged, or even old. Let's look at one other passage in 2 Peter. In chapter 1, let's read verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Where are all things that pertain to this life? Where are all things that answer the question of godliness, of what constitutes godliness? It's the knowledge of Him, the knowledge of Christ. And where do we find that knowledge? In pitcher, in basketball, in sports, in games of whatever sorts of varieties? No, friends. We find that knowledge in the Scriptures. The Scriptures that completely and thoroughly furnish us unto all good works. You know, I'm as disturbed as the next guy about how many of our young people fall away. But let's be clear about one thing. The denomination up the street with its vast array of youth activities does not have the answer. God does. And if we want to get things right with our kids, we need to quit looking at other churches in town, and we need to get back to God's book, the Bible, the Scriptures. Again, let me remind you that 30 minutes after this program is off the air, the East Albable Church of Christ will have a period of Bible study where you can bring your family, bring your children, and you yourself engage in studying of God's Word. At 10:30, we will conduct worship. Our worship will be in spirit. It will be according to truth, because God's Word is truth. And we will only do those things that we find a pattern for. We will only do those things for which we find book, chapter, and verse for, in what God wants us to do in worship unto Him. For after all, it's Him that we're supposed to be worshiping. So it needs to be His will in regards to what we're doing to make sure that this worship is being directed to God, and that He will be pleased. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with any person. Worship is to God. He's the one that we must in all things seek the approval of. And of course, remember tonight at 5 o'clock for a period of worship. But then too, remember Bible Crossfire. If you've got a Bible question, a Bible subject, there's no better opportunity than you'll have tonight at 8 o'clock to use the phone number that will be given and call that number and give your Bible question, and in return expect a Bible answer. That's Bible Crossfire tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.